Well, last week we began our summer sermon series entitled Questions That God Has For Us. And Pastor Alf led us as we looked at that first question that's in the Bible. Adam and Eve had just sinned, and in their fear and in their confusion, they ran away and they hid from God. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, we read that the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said to him, "Where are you?" Well, we learned from Alf's message that sin separates us from God. And then this week, we're moving on to another question that God asks in the Bible. And that question is, where is your brother? Listen to the story of Cain and Abel as recorded in Genesis chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have produced a man with the help of the Lord." Next, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain a tiller of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, for his part, brought the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will not be accepted, and if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." And Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out to the field." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened up its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield to you its strength. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Today you have driven me away from the soil, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and anyone who meets me may kill me." And then the Lord said to him, "Not so. Whoever kills Cain will suffer a sevenfold vengeance." And the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who came upon him would kill him. And then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here on this special day. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us and that you would fill our lives and our hearts with your love and grace. Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my hearts together in this place might be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, today is Father's Day, and what a great day to baptize children. So many precious gifts from God, Edward, or Grady, and Brantley, and Wallace, and Luke, and such precious gifts. But as we gather here on this Father's Day, we're looking at probably one of the most thought-provoking questions in the entire Scriptures. And it's a question that God asked Cain after he murders his brother Abel. God asks him, "Where is your brother?" And Cain responds, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Questions. There was a recent study that was done that showed that children ask 390 questions a day. Questions that are addressed to their parents and to the grandparents, their teachers, their friends. And research has found that 4-year-old little girls ask the most questions. They're the most curious. They ask an average of one question every 1 minute and 56 seconds. Now, those of you who have four-year-old daughters in your family understand what I'm talking about. But let's be fair, boys asked the same number of questions. Questions all day long. Endless, continuous questions. One four-year-old little girl was in the middle of dinner one evening, and with no context, she asked her dad, "What did it feel like on your last day of being a child?" And another little boy asked, "In the olden days, was everything black and white?" And a four-year-old little girl asked this great question, "Did Jesus get potty trained as fast as I did?" And then there was a little boy who was watching TV with his dad, and it was a school night, and it was getting late. And so his dad said to him, "It's time for your bath." And the little boy responded, "I don't need a bath. Can't you just Febreze me and spray me down?" Kids are great, aren't they? They ask the best questions. But the questions that God asks us are even better. Questions are an interesting form of communication. You can learn a lot from a person's questions or their lack of questions. If someone really doesn't care enough about what you're talking about, they're not going to ask questions. They're not interested. We only ask questions about the things that we're interested in. God is concerned about our lives, the lives of his children. And that's why God addresses our question this morning to Cain. Our story begins with Adam and Eve. They have a little baby. They name him Cain. And God, in his infinite grace and mercy, allowed Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply. And then a second son comes along, and they name him Abel. Now, Abel is an interesting name. In Hebrew, Abel means breath or temporary, which foreshadows the fact that Abel's life and his breath will be cut short. And the two boys grow up and they choose different careers. One becomes a shepherd of sheep. The other becomes a tiller of the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of his fruits, the fruits of the soil, as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And both of them were doing their religious duty. But the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but not on Cain's offering. So Cain gets angry. He takes his brother out into the field and he kills him. Now, over the years, different biblical scholars have tried to speculate as to why God rejected Cain's offering. The Scofield Bible says that God expected a blood sacrifice, which is a sin offering, signifying the atonement of sin. But others speculate that God must have told Cain that a grain offering wasn't acceptable, but Cain ignored what the Lord had said. And yet later on in the Old Testament, we discover that grain offerings are very appropriate. So what was the problem here? Well, I believe that what pleased God about Abel's offering wasn't so much that it was a blood sacrifice, but that it was an offering that was given in sincere faith. I think the big difference between Cain and Abel wasn't the kind of offering that they brought, but their attitude and their motive behind their offering. Cain's problem was that he had the wrong attitude. I'm not sure what his motives were, but I think he wasn't focused on worshiping the Lord. And after Cain kills Abel, then the Lord asks Cain our question for the day. And God asks him, "Where is your brother?" To which Cain replies, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain's arrogant response to God's question is a sign of his inward, his unacknowledged guilt. And that's the way guilt works in our lives. Our tendency is to disclaim responsibility. We saw it in last week's message when Adam blamed Eve for giving in to the temptation, and Eve blamed the snake. We don't like to take responsibility for our actions. Cain's question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" was just a disrespectful way to get God off of his back. However, it's an important question that needs to be answered because it deals with our relationship, the relationship that God calls us to have with one another. If we answer that question, then we can begin to live in harmony with our brothers and sisters. So let me break down Cain's answer down to three parts. Who is my brother and sister? And am I really responsible for them? And what should I do for my brother and sisters? Now, that's the same question that was asked of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 29, when the scribe tried to entrap Jesus, and Jesus turns the tables on him and he puts him on the spot. And Jesus implied that the scribe didn't have a right relationship with God or with his neighbor. And to justify himself, the scribe said, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And with that parable, Jesus implied that our neighbor is anyone who needs our love. There was a theologian by the name of Dr. Carl Henry years ago, and he wrote a book entitled The Uneasy Conscience of Fundamentalism, which bothered a lot of people when it came out at the time. And Dr. Henry pointed out this. This is what he said. He said, "Isolationalism that many Christians adopt removes us from contact with non-Christians, but it also removes us from grappling with some of the pressing social issues of our time. We're often quite content to sing about going to heaven, but have shown very little concern for the sick, the poor, the lonely, the old, the suffering in the world." God is concerned about every area of life. Christian love calls for us to get involved in the lives of others, to love them as God loves us. We can't isolate ourselves from the world, my friends. The world is all around us. But we also can't be influenced by the world. We need to be faithful to the gospel and to share God's love and grace. So who is our brother and sister? Anyone who needs your love. The church was never intended to minister to only one segment of society, but we're called to include all people, all classes, all colors, without distinction, their race, their social standing, their physical features, how they're dressed, whether they're gay or lesbian, what language they speak. Those things don't have anything to do with our love, our decision to love one another. There's a great choral piece that says, "No man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief, my own." Every person in the human race qualifies as our brother and sister and needs our love. Secondly, am I responsible for my brother and sister? Well, Cain responds to that question, "Where is your brother?" with another question. He says, "Am I responsible for my brother?" Most people would say, "No, I'm not responsible for someone else's actions." And while that may be true, you may be responsible for why they act the way that they do. If only we could learn to love and befriend each other, I believe we could stop much of the violence that's taking place in the world today. People are crying out for help. When they can't get that help and the help that they need in any other way, they turn to crime and they turn to violence. And we saw that happen last week in Orlando, Florida. Such a horrible, horrible tragedy. Maybe if someone would have shown Omar Mateen Christ's love and the right way to solve his problems, it would have made a difference. We'll never know. But I do know that You and I need to take on that responsibility and love our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, as ourselves. And lastly, what should I do for my brothers and sisters? Matt Mayer is a contemporary Christian singer and a songwriter, and he wrote a great song that's entitled, Hold Us Together. And in the chorus, he writes these words. He said, love will hold us together. Make us a shelter to weather the storm. And I'll be my brother's keeper so the whole world would know we're not alone. When I heard those words, they made me stop and they made me think and reflect on what it means. In our passage from Genesis, when God asked Cain where his brother Abel was, and Cain said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Interestingly enough, God responded to Cain's sarcastic remark with a pretty simple statement that conveyed the idea that Cain was his brother's keeper. To be our brother's keeper means that we need to be an advocate for our brothers and our sisters. As Christians, we should be advocates for one another, supporting and caring one another. I know that many of you here at MDPC have compassionate hearts, and you care about the needs of others. For that, I am extremely grateful. Some of you are caring for your disabled or elderly members, family members, and many of you are giving generously to the outreach program here at MDPC, and you're touching lives, the lives of people in so many ways here in this community and around the world. And you've been blessed and you want to share those blessings. It's so important for us to give back the love that we've received from God. When someone shows kindness to a brother or sister, that person is often compelled to show love to another person. And that creates a cycle where love continually flows throughout the world, sparked by all of those little acts of kindness everywhere. Regardless of the fact that we didn't deserve it, God poured out his abundant love on us when he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. We didn't deserve it. You know, in today's world, it seems like so many people get locked into their sins, that sin and hate and disobedience, and that cycle can only be broken by acts of love and redemption. So what are we called to do for our brothers and sisters? To love them. I want to close with a personal story that I love to share about my great-grandfather. It was a few weeks before I graduated from the University of Dubuque Theological Seminary, and my family and all of us were gathered together for Thanksgiving. And my great-grandfather at the time was 96 years old. And I was the oldest great-grandchild and the first person in our family to graduate from college and to complete seminary. And I remember the look on my great-grandfather's face as he pulled me over into a corner of the living room. And Gracie and I had already made the decision as to the first church that we were going to serve after graduation, and we were planning on moving there shortly after our December graduation. My great-grandfather looked at me, and with tears in his eyes, he said this to me, "All you have to do is love them. All you have to do is love them." Words that I've held in my heart for all these years. I love you, my friends, each and every one of you. When God asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" and Cain responded, "Am I my brother's keeper?" the answer for all of us is yes. God invites us to love, to stand up for, and to pray for our brothers and sisters. We love others because God first loved us. Thanks be to God. And all God's people said, amen. Please pray with me. Almighty and loving God, Lord, open our eyes that we may see each other as brothers and sisters, and teach us to love one another with that same unconditional love that you've shown to us. And when we respond to the question, am I my brother's and sister's keeper? Help us to respond with a resounding yes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.